coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. It is indeed Open Championship week. We're diving fully into Lynx Golf for the final major championship of the 2021 calendar in men's golf, previewing all the particulars for the last major in Glory's last shot, plus some quick thoughts on last week's match featuring a couple of quarterbacks and a couple of golfers we know. Everything we're tuning into outside of sports during an interestingly slow time on the sports calendar, plus a great guest coming at you this week, and we always end with food. All of it is brought to you by our friends at Active Body. I love the Active Body Active 5 unit, Mike. I talk about it all the time, and I reiterate this every single week because it really is the real deal. I do 5 to 10 minutes of exercise a day with the Active 5, and that's all I need. It's my easy daily routine to keep me stretched, limber, ready to go, ready to take on the day. It's a really cool portable device that you can take with you on the road. It tells you how to get into really quick and easy workouts, like I said, in 5 to 10 minutes. So our promo code is COL for 20% off your Active 5 unit. Again, COL for 20% off. That's a pretty damn good deal. So take advantage of it. Check out activebody.com and get your Active 5 today.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, all attention is now turning to Royal St. George.
Yes.
Because it's where James Bond and Goldfinger played golf in the 1959 novel Goldfinger.
Oh, look at you. Whoa, a little cinematography note there from Mike coming in hot. I appreciate
that. Well, originally the novel.
Thank you, sir. But, did not know. You learn something new every day here on the Course of Life. Welcome, everybody. It is Open Championship Week. We affectionately call it the British Open every once in a while. I'm sorry if we slip to our friends across the pond, but we love it just the same. And my main theme for this entire week, Mike, is I have missed the Open Championship. It's been 2 years. We forget that we did not get this one. We got pretty much every other tournament we wanted to amidst a crazy 2020, except for the Open Championship. It's going to be great to have the Lynx Golf 5 back for a week.
That's right. Shane Lowry got to hold on a claret jug for 2 years. That's pretty nice. Yes. I mean, I'm sure he would have liked to have held on for 2 years because he won it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, but first major, nice to win your first major kind of in front of your home crowd. He was an Irishman himself, so obviously big win there. And yeah, you got to savor it for an extra year. So shout out to him.
And Royal St. George, let's remind everyone past winners because, of course, Darren Clark won there in 2011. That was a huge win for him.
Yes.
Just kind of the icing on the cake of his career.
He wasn't sure if he was ever going to have one more moment like that. And he kind of pulled a rabbit out of a hat, which is always fun to see, especially when it's a European player in a setting like this, the Open.
That's right. And Ben Curtis won it all the way back in 2003.
Yeah, I would say arguably him or Sean McKeel for the most unheard of major champion in like the last 20, 25 years in our kind of golf fan existence. People barely remember that. Ben Curtis did end up winning, I think, another couple tournaments on the PGA Tour, but he fizzled out pretty quickly. But that was his moment in the sun, getting in through open qualifying and winning in an amazing underdog fashion in 2003. So there are some interesting stories. And just looking at those two names, that is like absolutely no gauge for predicting any sort of favorite to do well here this week, because those are a couple of random ass champions right there at Royal St. George.
Well, I mean, Phil already had his final moment, so I don't think he's going to have another final moment. Let's be honest.
No, you don't.
So that's not going to happen.
You remember he won that Open Championship. That was kind of like a spare major for him. Like, he had kind of written off the Open Championship and thought he'd never get that. And he kind of randomly checked that one off about 5-6 years ago. So yeah, I don't know if we're going to get one more moment like that from Phil. Obviously we just got Akiwa, so can't be too selfish there.
Yeah. And you know, so I think it's either going to be some guy that we're writing off because he's too old. We just don't think he's going to win. Or it's going to be someone in the field we've never heard of before. I think those are your options right now.
Two old guys. Guys that probably actually could. I'm looking at names way down the list when you say too old. I'm seeing Ian Poulter's name. That's a name that a lot of people would not like to see in the Open Championship. But he, that guy does deserve a major. I'll give him that for just his staying power in professional golf. I mean, there's a lot of European players that are going to show their face as well. We throw Stuart Sink's name around 125-1. I don't know, Brant Snedeker 125-1. Our friend Bubba 125-1. Who knows? Yeah, if you're looking in that veteran savvy, you know, one last trick in the playbook type of pick, maybe you're looking at guys like that this week. Let's do a little talk about the guys at the top of the list though, because they deserve the accolades for how well they've played. Top guns favorites. We obviously saw Rahm check off that box at Torrey Pines with a dominant finish of the U.S. Open. Where does he sit in your mind? Who do you like when we talk of the top names in the game right now?
You know, if I look at the names at the top of the list, John Rahm to me, I just have like major championship hangover. I just don't think we're going to see guys win two major championships in the same year. I think it's going to be extremely unlikely. Where no one's going to do what Tiger Woods did and like win them all. So I just can't think. But I know John Rahm obviously played well, but okay. That was a month ago. He's still partying. He's still got that hangover. Bryson, I don't think Bryson's going to make the cut. I think we can say that right now. I think he's done. So if I'm thinking about like these guys in the top 10 that I really would be curious about putting money down on, I'd be looking at Rory. I'd be looking at Justin Thomas for sure. Yes. And maybe Brooks.
Yeah, maybe. And that number could slip. He's currently at 14-15-1. So we'll see where that goes right before the tournament happens. Our picks will be on Twitter. I'm at Course of Life 1 and you're at MWRINC. JT, good little name though. 20-1. Mm-hmm. Hasn't like played the greatest golf in the world, but people forget he just won the Players Championship a few months ago. He's got some decent form. And he's kind of due for a big week in a Lynx golf setting like this. So that's an interesting pick as well too. I'm very biased to Tommy Fleetwood when it comes to the Open Championship. I feel like he could not be a more fitting champion. Like he deserves it. He puts himself in position. If it happened in front of the home crowd, how amazing that could be. You're going to be hard pressed to keep a dollar of mine away from him. And one other guy I'm going to shout out as well too is Justin Rose. He hasn't had great form recently, but he does tend to come alive in the open stage as well too. Maybe just for a Thursday or Friday first round leader or weekend leader or something like that. But I feel like he'll pop his head out sometime this week at Royal St. George's.
Yeah, let's talk a little sleepers too, because you know, there's a lot of players in the field as usual. And I'm going to throw out another old name that we haven't really talked about in quite a while, but Graham McDowell.
Yes, a major champion, European, a lot of Ryder Cup experience. Again, haven't seen him on a leaderboard recently. That's why you're getting value with a guy down the list there at 100-something-1. But it's in the cards. You definitely have to look a little bit further down when you look at the random champions we've seen at this venue. And again, the unfamiliarity with this not being super regularly in the rotation of courses they play for the Open does lead for a little bit of potential surprise as well. You can scroll down a little bit further than you would have normally scrolled to see Colin Morikawa at like a 35 or 40 to one. He hasn't played Lynx golf. That's maybe the main reason why. How about Garrick Higo, a recent PGA Tour champion that won the lefty one a few weeks ago at 50-1. And I've been tailing Joaquin Niemann for what seems like years now. Mike, I'm dying to be there for the moment he gets this win. We had our heart broken a week or two ago at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Maybe he's qualified for the Olympics. Good vibes. This is his turn to get over the hump. So there's a plethora of names I'm looking at potentially this week.
Yeah, there's one other name I want to throw out there. It's a guy that we reluctantly put money on 2 weeks ago, almost put money on a week ago and didn't. And yet he had a great week. Bubba Watson, again, you just never know which bubble you're going to get. But the fact that he played so poorly to end and then played so well a week later, it's, you got to think that things are starting to click for him at it, and going off right now, like 100, 125 to one, like, it could be good money.
Intriguing. Right now in Bubba's tournaments, you're getting like 2 out of 4, like good rounds. He just needs to put it together, yeah. And we need 4 in a row. So that's an interesting set of picks there. Again, our picks will be on Twitter Wednesday evening before it all gets going. But nonetheless, I mentioned that I'm excited for the Open Championship return. It's not only the Lynx golf vibes, Mike, but it's the broadcast, the royal trumpet-filled music, the whispering heather. I love the shots of the tiny little packed pubs, which we did not get to see last year, which we'll now see. It's fun to kind of dive into the local village. You know, I love the little shots of the hometown, the innocent little sleepy hometown where these wonderful major championship venues are held. So it's a fun little departure from the normal type of venues we see in the game, and I'm looking forward to the action.
It will be. And the fans, of course, will have a much more free and effervescent opportunity to enjoy themselves than the players, who really, if they're not on the course, they have to go sit in their hotel room and never leave.
Yeah, it's pretty tight. And you think about the timeline as well for these players. They're on extra guard as well, too. And like, this isn't even there's no politics or anything debate here. Like, vaccinated, unvaccinated, you can catch a spare positive test. We've seen that before happen a lot recently.
That's true.
No matter what state you're in. And we get the Olympics right around the corner for a lot of these guys. So they're on like super guard right now of contact with anyone, no matter what their status is medically. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting time. Nonetheless, it'll be cool to see the OG, the old school, the original golf fans back at it. Like, they know just when to clap and how much. They're very, very eloquent all week. So I look forward to that action.
It's going to be a great week. And of course, it'll be done by the time you wake up in the morning. So, you know,
yes, that's right.
Enjoy it.
if you're one of those, if you're tossing and turning, this is the good news. If you're having a bad night's sleep Wednesday through Saturday night, you're tossing and turning 2, 3 a.m. I have great news for you. You can just give up and just not sleep and just watch.
There's golf on. Yeah. There's golf. There's always golf. Speaking of golf always being on, Tuesday night was the match four.
They did that just because we're a Tuesday night podcast. So they had to release this last Tuesday night on us and play a 4 p.m. Central Time match with two NFL quarterbacks and two superstars. I don't know. I just, off the bat, before we even got hopped on here to record, that felt awkward to me just in and of itself.
It really did, you know, and of course they didn't even start playing for like 30 minutes because they just had to do, you know, I don't know, whatever BS they decided to do to prop it up. And, you know, the match in general, like, I want to be into the match, but I like don't care all at the same time. It's this weird kind of gray middle ground.
It's kind of mean. It makes us a little selfish and spoiled, because if I had told you like 4 or 5 years ago, like, hey, Mike, good news, like, our lives are going to be ruined for a year, but what we're going to get out of it are these awesome celebrity golf matches where we have athletes and professionals mic'd up for 18 holes. You would say, holy crap, I'm clearing my schedule. This is the greatest thing ever. But like, I think we're just a little bit spoiled with some of these now, and they're being super overproduced at this point. This is on an empty, beautiful golf course in Montana. So we're really leaning into the fact that these guys were mic'd up for 18. But yeah, I can't quite tell what exactly is missing from these broadcasts right now. The one thing I will say that is not missing is the trash talk, because that is at a very high level, especially with Brady and Rogers and Phil and Bryson. It's a very interesting mix out there.
It's incredibly excessive. It's just like, can't we be nice for a little bit? I mean, come on, let's be nice.
Tom Brady, like, this guy has everything in the world. And when he makes these birdie putts, like with Phil next to him too, they don't even go in the side of the hole like yours and mine do. They just go right in the middle. It's like, Tom Brady, do you not have enough in life? Like, have you not been given enough? Your birdie putts have to go in the middle of the hole too. This guy gets all the bounces on the golf course. It's ridiculous. I'm not bitter or rotten about this at all. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, you know what I want to see for the next match? I already know what I want. I want Phil playing righty, and I want Nelly Korda playing lefty.
Oh, I am waiting for the females to get involved, and I think this is about the time, maybe the next one, to get two of them involved.
Yes.
I'm wondering maybe if you do that and you have the pros playing on their opposite side, then maybe you could just pair a female and a male celebrity accordingly. Just, you know, no one with a pro level game, just a couple celebrities to join the two of them. That would be a circus act, definitely. Yeah.
It would be.
Fun to think about indeed. But we'll be tuned in to see what the future of these matches look like. And we're cautiously optimistically enjoying them right now.
Yeah. Last week, we talked about the men's Olympic golfers. Let's talk about the women, because it's just as exciting, if not more exciting, than the men, because it's, I feel like the women's game can also go in any direction and you just never know.
Yeah, and the LPGA Tour is just popping right now in popularity. I mean, we got players from all over the globe lifting trophies, which was kind of the goal last couple decades, is to mm-hmm. make this the most international tour popular as possible. And this showcase in Tokyo for the Olympics is going to be pretty much the perfect display of that when you look at the field on the women's side.
Yeah. And the good news is the Korda sisters are playing for Team USA. So USA is going to win gold.
And silver, right? I mean, yeah.
They're both going to win gold. The Korda sisters will both win gold.
They're going to share gold, basically.
Exactly. Yep.
Two golds and a bronze it is. All right, perfect. Yeah, it's both Korda sisters, Jessica and Nelly. Shout out the number one golfer in the world right now, along with Lexi Thompson, had that heartbreak at the Women's U.S. Open a few weeks back, looking to avenge that. And Danielle Kang as well, too, who's a really awesome, fun, bubbly personality. She has got a real fiery streak as well, too. She's going to go like absolutely insanely hard for this medal. So I'm looking forward to watching Danielle Kang on Team USA as well.
On Team Germany, though, we got to root for the one who's not an LPGA member, Sophia yes. Popov.
That's right. The Will Zalatoris of the LPGA, if you will.
Exactly.
The one that's done everything except be a member. So shout out to Sophia. She's making herself more of a mainstay on tour now, but it's good to see her represent Germany, obviously on the heels of that amazing Women's British Open last year. So I'll definitely be rooting for her. She's got Arizona roots and some mutual friends of guests on the show as well, too. I'll be watching out for her. I'm also watching out for Shen Shengfeng from China, who's been rumored to possibly looking at maybe retiring or just dropping the game altogether after the Olympics. I wonder if that's a results-based thing, and maybe if she medals, she goes out on top and calls it a career. So that's another storyline I'm looking for as well on the women's side.
I mean, that's not a bad way to go, to win gold and then retire.
Pretty solid,
I
right? mean, nice way to go out.
That's really yes. not a bad thing. NB Park didn't do it when she won gold 5 years ago, but she'll be there to defend her gold medal from South Korea.
Correct. Yeah, and I think yeah. South Korea's got four in as well, too. There's like two or three countries. Yeah, U.S., South Korea, and I think one other got the max of four players in. So it's a really loaded field. You can check it out online. They've got a whole bunch of LPGA representation. I was hoping our girl Alejandra Yaneza would qualify and represent Mexico. Unfortunately, those spots got eaten up from Maria Fassi and Gabby Lopez, but hopefully we'll see her in a few years there at the next Olympic Games. And looking forward to the women's action as well from Tokyo.
Don't overlook it. It's just as good, if not better, than the men.
And the women's really. Tournament, from my memory, had a little bit more drama 5 years ago in Rio. So we'll see if it matches the same in Tokyo.
Can't wait for that. And of course, this would be when we preview the upcoming tournament. We already talked quite a bit there about the Open Championship at Royal St. George. We'll have all of our picks up on our Twitters.
Yes.
I'm at MWRINC. Where are you at again, Alex?
I'm at Course of Life number one, and those will be up Wednesday afternoon, evening. So stay tuned for those. Well, each of us, we've each got three wins so far in 2021. Mm-hmm. We've definitely spread the wealth across the podcast now. You're dipping your toe in the winner's circle, which is nice. I think we're due to haul in a major winner. I got a good feeling about our cards this week. So stay tuned, follow on Twitter, and follow for coverage on our Instagram as well. I'm at Course of Life Alex. You're at MWRINC, and you could follow the podcast as well, COL Podcast on IG.
Let's switch over to Tuned In with what we've been tuning into outside of the world of sports. I had a bit of a road trip, so that meant books on tape, which I've never done before.
Yeah, I'm very interested to hear the full review when you do wrap the trip and everything like that. But mm-hmm. road trip plans, you went absolutely ham. You went thousands of miles. I commend you for being in a car that long with your wife. But book on tape, do you know like the narrator's voice for this book or something like that? Because that's always my tease. Like, do I like the voice of the book on tape?
First of all, let me back up. I love my wife. I will happily spend days on end in a car
days
with her.
Days on end.
Let's just get that out
There's
of the way.
There's the commitment. I love it.
I have literally committed to spend the rest of my life with her. So what's a couple days in the car with her? So we're listening to actually a book that both of us have read called Rivers of London. And, you know, it's a book on tape. It's different. I think I still like reading. I think it's better to read than to listen sometimes.
Yeah, I like that fusion. Good stuff. Awesome. Well, best of luck and everything road trip related to you, and safe travels, and best of luck with the book. This is an interesting week because we did tuned in originally when quarantine hit and sports stopped. Mm-hmm. And we're going to revisit that for the first time, basically since COVID, this week, right here in front of your eyes. Brace yourself and really, really lock into the golf for this reason as well, too. Because none of the big four sports are in action for two straight days, Wednesday the 14th and Thursday the 15th. There are no NBA, NHL, NFL, or MLB action because of MLB All-Star Week. It's a unique spot in the calendar to maybe just take a moment and just ignore the Scores app on your phone. It's okay. You don't have to check ESPN.com ridiculously. You don't need to worry about a Woj bomb tweet or anything like that. The result of a game does not dictate your life. So on behalf of the origin of this tuned in segment, I just wanted to shout out the zero pro sports moment in July, which is officially returned to our calendar.
I always wonder this time of year, what does ESPN do for these 2 days?
It's a lot of like Baseball Tonight and Sports Center rerun on Sports Center rerun. And just a lot of, they like recycle like 30 for 30s. It gets rough out there on the streets. They muddled around with the Ocho, and I don't know if that's coming back this year or not. That should be coming up soon around the corner as well. It's pretty dry time in sports, but nonetheless, all the more reason to get yourself into the golf, especially this week with Major Championship.
Get into the golf. When you're not watching the golf, go ahead and watch yourself Dodgeball, A True Underdog Story. Because
yes, that's right.
If you're going to talk about the Ocho, you got to watch the OG. So
love it. Dodge, dive, dip, duck, dodge. Thank God I got that on the first try.
There you go. Good job. We don't have to record that again. Yeah. Let's get into this week's guest. Alex, we love ourselves some Holy Moly on ABC. Yeah,
yes, of course. They're basically our associate casting director for podcast guests here. In case you hadn't tell, we've had several on before. And this is a recent champion who just aired a couple weeks ago. I know he's now in the running for that 250K. Talking about Blake Sledge. And Rob Dibble loved that name, Mike. He was obsessed with Blake Sledge. Sounds a little kind of like a superhero or like a Jason Bourne. You know what I mean? Just one of those real powerful names that resonate. So Blake was a champion on his episode. We talked through the casting process and everything he did on Holy Moly and his golf game as well.
We'll have that interview in just a moment. But first, as always, we want to let you know that it's brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Desert Fox team is based in Arizona, so they know golf, and the Phone Caddy is crafted by both golfers and engineers. The Phone Caddy is unique because it mounts right onto your golf cart in seconds in a place where you can actually see and use your phone. Keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy from Desert Fox. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. The Phone Caddy works seamlessly with almost any phone model and quickly becomes the talk of your foursome. And for our listeners, you can save 10% off your purchase of a Phone Caddy with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. It comes in a range of colors, and you can even show your support with their patriotic line. So head on over to desertfoxgolf.com to get your Phone Caddy. And don't forget to use the promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10%. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE at desertfoxgolf.com.
Next up on the tee from Colorado by way of Houston, Texas, he is a pro golfer and a recent champion on season 3 of Holy Moly on AB Show. See, a show we love to document. He's going to be competing for the 250K grand prize later this season as well. It's Blake Sledge joining the Course of Life. Blake, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Enjoying this Colorado weather. Get back from the heat of Houston.
That's right, man. Yeah, it's been strange in Texas lately. We've been dealing with the heat and the coolness and the mugginess. It's all over the place, but I know there's lots of good consistency in Colorado. Let's start off with what everyone became enraptured with on your episode, which was Rob Dibble falling in love with your name, Blake Sledge. Is that your given name and your birth name that you've always had?
That is the birth name, man. Shout out to moms for hooking it up. Yeah, man, it's been one of those things that, you know, everyone I meet, they always think that, you know, I should be in acting or, you know, or WWE, like Joe said on the show, or something that's just got to be in front of the camera. But man, that's my name. You know, back in high school, I played football and they called me Sledgehammer. It was on my letter jacket, you know, how those are in Texas. But yeah, man, God-given name there.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you had a lot of fun with it. And so did us, the viewers at home, too. It kind of sounds like the name of like an action movie trilogy, too. So even if, you know, you can just sign your name off to maybe Hollywood or something like that, so it'd be a great title for an action trilogy. But tell me about your background with golf specifically before we get into everything holy moly wise. Did you play the game a lot growing up as a kid, or did you find it later in life? Kind of what did your trajectory look like with golf?
Yeah, so definitely found it later in life. I mean, as you know, growing up, being from Texas, football is life. So that was the one and only sport that had my attention while I was young, while I was in high school. So football got everything that I had while I was competing. And then, you know, in college, I played a little football as well. And then my father-in-law, man, he got me into it. 2010 is when I started playing golf, actually. And he bought me my first set of clubs. I remember they were Lynx. I don't know if you remember those clubs.
Yes, I do. I love the idea of the dad-in-law saying, all right, soon to be son, it's time for you to come out on the course with me. I'm picturing that scenario.
Right, for sure. I mean, and I think he kind of knew. He could kind of, I mean, he's been, me and my wife have been together since high school. So he kind of knew that I was super competitive and pretty athletic. So he put those clubs in my hand, man, and that was the rest is history. Like from there, just kept competing, getting better, you know, by myself. You know, I had just really had that hunger, you know, early in the game, and you know, it's led me to here.
Nice. And again, it's underscore no BS golf underscore on Instagram. If you want to follow Blake and his diaries of his game as well, too. I see you posting the scores, a lot of motivational stuff that people can get behind. But tell me what your game's looking like right now. I know, you know, in the last year since you've been on social, the handicap has dipped below zero. Where does it sit now? And what's the golf career looking like for you these days?
Yeah. So currently my gin is a +26. I've got some pro tournaments lined up here, for later this year. I've got the Colorado Open qualifier. It's the highest paid state open in the U.S. I have the Wyoming Open. Let's see what else I have. I haven't really looked at August yet. I might be traveling to Arizona or New Mexico. And then, actually looking at doing some of the stuff on the Silver State Tour out in Nevada as well. But yeah, man, just, you know, keep getting better. It's part of it, you know, is just playing with better players. I mean, that's iron sharpens iron, as the old saying goes. And, you know, you put yourself out there in the situations and you see how you can, you know, come out of it.
Yeah, that state open grind is real too. Funny quick story about a past guest named Neil Johnson. He just barely made it through the qualifier, I think 2015 or 16, and then he ended up winning the whole damn thing. And that $100,000 changed his life. So you just never know what can come out of weeks like that. So best of luck with that state open circuit that you're on now. In terms of Colorado golf, talk to me about it. We've talked to a lot of different people from the region, but I've never got the opportunity to play a lot of golf in Colorado. What's it like for you out there?
It's definitely, man, you definitely can get sucked into the altitude and fool's gold of hitting the ball, you know, 350 plus and you think that you're a better player than what you are. So you really gotta stay humble. You gotta stay realistic, you know, because obviously, you know, if you're competing at the level that I am and some of my friends, man, like you're gonna be playing at sea level most of the time. And it's the reason why there's not a lot of golf tournaments, professional golf tournaments in Colorado. But it's a lot of fun, man. You know, a lot of great tracks out here. We got the Pete Dye designs, a lot of gymming around the state. I've been fortunate enough to play and link up with a lot of people and play just a lot of cool courses throughout the state. We got a Robert Trent Jones design on the Air Force Academy that's just breathtaking, man. I think it's the hardest course in Colorado.
Very cool. I know we just saw the Corn Ferry Tour at TPC Colorado as well this past week. That they had like a 770 something yard par five. So that elevation distance is a real thing, huh?
It's a real thing, man. I played that hole, actually. I played that course. And it's a lot of golf course, man. It's 7,991 yards tipped out.
Jeez.
And yeah, so that hole is 773. That's the one that gets a lot of the buzz around it. But the one that's really, I think, the harder hole of the two is the par three right after it. It's 273 for the tips, man. It's a lot of golf course. I think a few years ago, I saw Lanto Griffin on that par five hit driver hybrid, which is just shows you how good some of these guys are.
Yeah, that's absurd. And then the 270 par three, I'm still wrapping my head around that. I think even with the elevation, unfortunately, I might have to take my man card away and pull out the driver for that one too. But that might just be too long for me. But that's impressive, the distance indeed out there in Colorado. One thing I want to talk about sports related, and I know you'll appreciate this. You got some family background in the Northeast, and I'm from the Northeast as well. So I'm a lifelong Celtics fan. I see you got a lot of Lakers stuff on your profile here. And we've done a lot of battles between the Celtics and the Lakers. But one thing I know you and I can agree on is the legacy of Kobe Bryant. And you talk a lot about Mamba mentality on social media. Just talk to me about kind of what he meant to you as a Lakers fan and how you use Mamba mentality in your life.
Man, it's so hard to talk about, to be honest. Kobe was it for me. You know, a lot of people, they look up to Jordans and Tigers and, you know, even some of the older guys, you know, they're Nicholas and, but it was Kobe, man. It was always Kobe. And what I respect the most is just his work ethic. You know, it's something that I pride myself on being the hardest working person. You know, like it's one thing to have the talent or God given ability, but you know, you can't put a price or a label on how hard someone can work. You know, that's something that we all have an option to do. And it's a matter of you getting up and putting your shoes on and getting to work. And I pride myself on being the hardest working person. You know, like that's my mentality. That's part of the Mamba mentality of just finding a way to get it done. And yeah, I mean, if I could have had it my way, I would have had my son named Kobe, but my wife, she let me get away with the dog being named Kobe, so that'll work.
Yeah, that's right. No, good tribute nonetheless. I appreciate that. So in terms of the Lakers and the team itself, just your thoughts on kind of where things stand now. It's interesting to see kind of LeBron come into the fold, obviously win a championship there. A little bit of a shorter postseason run this year, but where do you think the team stands right now as we look ahead to the next season?
I think we're solid, man, to be honest. Obviously these guys were in the bubble for, 90 plus days, you know, and then you turn around, you get a month off and you got to go and play 70 plus games again. So, you know, it's a lot on the body. I don't think, you know, the public has enough insight to what really goes on in the world of playing professional sports and how much you do have to pay attention to taking care of yourself. So I just think, you know, we just got caught up in the injury bug this year, but I think we're going to make some noise in the free agency market, man. You know, I've been reading some things on some people that might have an interest in coming to LA. I would love to see the likes of, you know, a Dame Lillard, if he's really unhappy, or even a sleeper like DeMar DeRozan. You know, I think he would be a great addition to the team. Doesn't have a big ego and would fit in seamlessly.
Oh yeah, who wouldn't go to LA? Crap, I'm LeBron's my rival the entire time of my NBA fandom, but I'd go in a heartbeat to play with him. So
yes.
Again, Blake Sledge, Holy Moly Champions, _ no BS golf, _ on Instagram. Let's talk about Holy Moly now. So I'm curious, because I asked this to all the different people we've had on the show. How did you first hear about the show? Was it someone else who kind of put you up to audition and casting? Were you found? What was your first recollection of the process?
Man, definitely found. So I had a private Instagram for the longest, dude. You know, like just since the Instagram started, like, you know, I have family, so I try to keep them out of, you know, any type of spotlight, and you don't know how people exist in this world and what they do. And then my wife, man, she put me on it. She's like, make a public golf Instagram. Like you never know what's going to happen. So we launched that, dude. And I'm not even kidding. Last fall is when we launched that. And I probably 2 months into it, I got contacted by a talent agent, you know, and when you get those messages, you think like, you know, you're a little skeptical. You think maybe it's a scam or something, you know, and found out.
Yeah.
You know,
especially with you just starting out too. You didn't have the biggest following in the world. So I can understand why you'd be right. Sketched out by that originally.
Exactly. So like definitely, man, she reached out and everything was legit on her end. And then from there, you know, I did everything that every other contestant does, you know, submitting audition tapes and interviewing with producers and, you know, and thankfully, man, you know, I had enough personality through a Zoom call interview that, you know, they love me. So, the rest is history.
Love that. Cool. So when you arrived, the one thing I always love to ask contestants about was arriving to the set, which is very overwhelming. If you just see it on TV, talking about the Holy Moly set on ABC Thursday nights, just when you got there and kind of saw the enormity of the production of the show, what was your first emotion? Was it, let's do this? What were there nerves or what were you feeling?
I mean, yeah, a little bit of both, right? So like, obviously you're excited and everything's new and you're trying to take it all in. And, you know, just seeing how Hollywood works is like a whole nother thing. But then also it was just like, you know, for sure, like I'm here to compete hard. You know, like if there's one thing anybody knows about me, man, is I hate losing more than I actually like winning. So no disrespect to any of my fellow competitors that I was playing against. Sorry, man. It was kill or be killed. You know, in those situations, it was definitely game on when it was time to go, for sure.
Yeah, it was the game face, Blake Sledge, for sure. That definitely shined through on TV, and I appreciated that. You were there to win. I'm curious, one thing I do like to ask is, was it cold when you taped the episode? We always see people's breath out of their mouth, but how did you deal with the elements and then stay warm during taping? I'm imagining it wasn't too hot.
Yeah, man, definitely not hot. we'll film late into the night, man. And so obviously they've got a lot to do on their end. And, you know, your job as a contestant is just to be ready, you know, and bring that energy and bring that intensity when it's your time to be on camera. So, I went into it with the mindset of, you know what, like, whatever it takes, like if it takes me getting to 37 degree freezing cold water and then having to try to putt with that, you know, that's kind of, I'm okay with it. You know, it's like here in Colorado, man, like I don't have the luxury of playing in 80 degree weather year round. You know, there's times I played in 19 degree weather and 30 degree weather. So I felt like I was kind of set up for it, like mentality wise, like, you know, I'm going to shine no matter what it takes, and I'm gonna give it my best no matter what it takes. But yeah, man, definitely cold. Any future contestants out there, man, definitely bring plenty of warm stuff because you're gonna be cold.
Plenty of warm stuff. And the water was that cold too. Oh, thanks for confirming that too. Nice. Hey, in terms of practicing and getting ready for Holy Moly, I know you're a golfer. You got the mama mentality. I'm curious how you prepped from a golf perspective. Were you hitting a lot of like short, funny putts? Were you hitting a lot of lag putts? You had a great lag putt in one of your rounds on the show specifically that I'm thinking of. But from a golf perspective, how did you get ready with the putter?
Definitely, man. You know, I try to play lines, right? Like, or angles, really. I mean, like, growing up, like, when I was playing mini golf, you know, back in Houston, it's, you know, we didn't have all the fancy, you know, obstacles or any of that stuff. It was miniature golf, but, like, the holes were, like, designed all quirky. So you didn't have, like, you know, a clown popping out on the green and knocking your ball out of the way. But it was hard to get to the hole, so you had to play off the bank or do different things like that. So I really just focused on speed. You know, I figured that's the one thing that I can control going into the show. I didn't know what the surface would be like on the greens. I didn't know what the conditions would be like. So I was just like, you know, I can control my speed on my putts, then I think I would have a good chance.
Yeah, I like that because it's funny. You see a lot of putts online on that show, no matter what level of golfer you see appear. But the one thing you do see is a lot of cut putts get blown by people not judging the speed right. So you definitely did that on your way to victory for your Holy Moly season 3 episode. I'll bring it back down to earth real quick. The one rough spot you did have during your victory was the jousting. So I got to ask, what happened there with the jousting?
Oh man, you saw that horse, man. I'm a big dude. I'm not little by any means. And so that thing was lathered up, man.
Super slippery. Dang.
And so I had no choice. You know, I told myself, look, okay, I'm gonna go for broke and try to knock this guy off. And when I went to joust him, I just slid right off into the water. I mean, what are you gonna do at that point? You know, I knew in the episode, when we were filming, I was like, oh, this is going to look so bad on TV, but at least I went for it. At least I thought I went for it harder than it looked. But in the moment, I felt like I really gave him a good ump, but I didn't even think he budged.
Yeah, you had one good swing at it, though. It's nice, though. Nice to have a blooper and then also win the episode, though. So it's hard to get both those in the same episode, and you managed to do both.
Yeah. It wasn't easy, man.
Love that. So Blake Sledge again joining us. Catchiest name on season 3. A holy moly, definitely. We're looking forward to seeing you in the 250K finale. Let's do a few no BS questions real quick before we wrap up. Okay, Blake?
Let's get it.
First one is most and least favorite club in the bag for you right now.
Oh man, that's a good one. This is going to be weird, man, but I'm going to have to say 8-iron. You know, it's like when I need a hit at a certain number, I always seem to overcook it and we're just not getting along. And I used to love 8-iron, but definitely 8-iron or 9-iron. Those irons are, the short irons are really giving me trouble right now.
So what's your favorite club in the bag right now?
Favorite club in the back for sure is driver. I love hitting driver. It's a strong suit of mine. And then putter, man, putter would have to be second. It's definitely a strength of mine.
Oh, absolutely. You got to be loving that putter right now. I bet you are.
I am.
And let's talk about the coolest course you've ever played, maybe inside or outside of Colorado in the past year.
Ooh, coolest course. Probably Perry Park Country Club down in Larkspur, Colorado. Breathtaking, man. Like it's red rocks all around you. You got wildlife everywhere and it's just a little piece of heaven, you know. Greens are great. 18's a little quirky, but it's an awesome track, man.
Okay. Noted. Like that. We'll add that to the list. And then I wanted to ask a pro sports question. I see Lakers fandom. You got Colorado roots. You got Texas roots. I don't know if you're going to say the Lakers are not here, but if you had to pick one pro sports team to win a championship for you right now that you're a fan of, what would you ask for LeBron and the Lakers to run it back or maybe pick a different team?
Oh man, it's Lakers 8 days a week. And I know there's not 8 days. So, you know, public don't crucify me for saying that. But yeah, Lakers 8 days a week, man. Like I am the biggest Laker fan you'll probably meet, biggest Kobe Bryant fan. I've got over 200 pairs of his shoes. It's an obsession, you know, but yeah, definitely Lakers.
Man, that's cool. If we're ever in the same town, we'll take in a Lakers game for sure together. And Blake, our last question we love to ask all our guests is our 19th hole question. So once you get through with 18, it's the all important walk into the clubhouse. What's your go-to order for like a meal and a drink after you finish a round of golf?
I'm definitely a burger guy and I'm biased. So anything that's got some type of Texas flair, barbecue sauce, bacon, cheddar cheese, something like that. Drink wise, man, Crown and Coke. Yeah, that's the go-to, man. It's easy. It's always there. I don't have to worry about anyone saying, oh, we don't have this or that, but Crown and Coke for sure.
Yeah, that's tried and true. I know you just got back from Texas too. You must have gotten some barbecue in, right, while you were here?
Lots of barbecue, man, but also lots of mosquitoes, man. I forgot how bad they are down there.
Yeah, it's real. And I was talking about that earlier. The humidity is out all the way through the summer too. You used to say it's a dry heat, but not these days right now.
Yes.
I love that. Hey, Blake, thanks again for hopping on the Course of Life. Again, we're all going to be tuned into the 250K finale later this season. Congrats on the win and looking forward to hearing more from you and your golf game.
All right, guys. I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all have a blessed day. Take it easy. Watch that final finale on Holy Moly. It's going to be epic.
And we're back. Great chat there with Blake Sledge from Holy Moly. Always great to have a past champion on, no matter what they were champion in. But Holy Moly just has a special place.
You love that name, don't you?
Blake Sledge.
Rob Dibble was having a lot of fun with that on the episode. So shout out Blake. He's got a lot of game. Got it done pretty easily, too, on his episode. It was cool to hear him recount everything. And yeah, like I said, the finale potentially looms for Blake and a whole lot more in store. So stay tuned to everything he's got going on as well.
Let's talk a little football because, hey, 2 weeks to training camp. My baseball season's already over thanks to my Yankees being one of the worst teams in the majors this year. So let's talk football.
Yes, it was so annoying when I was watching the match because I heard Tom Brady and Gronk talking to each other while Brady was putting. Brady was getting Gronk all pumped up. And like while I'm still upset at them, I was pumped up to see him getting pumped up because it means the football season looms. Like, Brady is already all over Gronk, making sure he's hitting the gym. It's that time of year to start overachieving because this is when the Super Bowl is really won here in July and August. Obviously, I got a quarterback battle coming up in a month. I actually pay attention to training camp for the first time in 2 decades to see who my quarterback is going to be in New England.
Do you know how to pay attention to training camp?
It's very aggressively through Twitter and beat writers.
Okay,
and I used to go back in the day when I was in like high school.
Oh, man.
I used to grab autographs and used to sprint laps around the training camp facility to get as many looks as I could. But nonetheless, I'll be watching the streams online. It's basically just scrolling through Twitter all day, watching throws from quarterbacks. But yeah, it's that time of year to get extremely overhyped about your football team, college or pro or anything. For you out there and your team, this could be your year. It could be.
It could be. I have faith that the Giants will win at least 2 games.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, and very sad at the time. Oh, good Lord. Over under 2.5 place there for Mike and his Giants currently in the 2021 season. But yeah, nonetheless, I did the peak at the college football season for week 1 around Labor Day weekend. And we're getting close. So it's nice to have football around the corner.
It's right there. You know what else is right here, Alex?
What's that?
Hashtag always MO food.
Yes, that's right. Brought to you by our friends at Toasty. The maker of the Toasty snacks, Toasty bites, Toasty super bites. We love them all. It's my favorite.
They're delicious. Snack.
I love them all.
They're the best.
You know, it's the right amount of fuel. And it's tricky because when you're out there on the course, you want a snack to keep you going, but you also don't want to kind of monopolize your time. You can knock back a super bite in 4 or 5 bites and you're good to go and you have the fuel you need. So check them out, toasty.com/COL. Our promo code is COL20 for 20% off. And something came up. I tried and I failed at something miserably that I thought I was going to do so well this past weekend.
Yeah.
I've been messing around because it's big time watermelon season. I love melons.
I'm a
melon guy. And I tried to do the fancy thing where you take the watermelon and you stick the vodka in it and you let it absorb and you have that boozy watermelon. It was a miserable failure on so many levels. I can't even begin to describe, but nonetheless,
it is watermelon season
at least.
I'm curious, did you like cut into it and it just like all the vodka just poured out of it or something? I mean, I don't like what happened?
What happened is I made the mistake of not doing the thing where you actually stick the bottle in and let it absorb it on its own time.
Yeah.
I basically just cut it into slices and it was already too late. And I figured I could just put it in a bag and mix it. And that is exactly not how to do things. So I've learned my lesson. I'll come back fighting the next time, maybe with another watermelon later this summer.
Thank you for making that sacrifice for everyone. I have a watermelon question though, now that we're talking about it. So when you eat your watermelon, do you spit the seeds out?
Yes. Watermelon seeds. Where do I stand?
Yeah.
Generally, I will pluck out seeds if there's an extraordinary amount of them. And I'm generally trying to avoid them. I'm not averse to having some go down in a spare bite.
You typically avoid eating watermelon seeds.
Yes. What?
Okay. I ask this because my wife is very confused as to why I don't eat the watermelon seeds. Because she just takes them in with everything.
So she she'll proactively say a few seeds spill off a slice. She'll proactively go get those and eat those too.
No, she won't do that, but she will not do anything to make sure the seeds do not come with the watermelon.
Interesting. That is a new one. I have not.
I don't know how many watermelons she's got growing in her stomach and intestines right now, but you know,
yes, that's the old wives tale I heard. You know what that reminds me of too. And I just saw this at the ballpark a couple weeks ago at Fenway. Have you ever eaten the whole peanut shell with the peanut? Do you do that at all?
No.
On a similar note.
No, I've sucked on it before.
Yes.
But I've never eaten it.
Salt. Love it.
Yeah. But the watermelon seeds, the only time I want a watermelon seeds is when it's a chocolate chip and a watermelon ice cream sort of thing. Then it's okay.
Yeah, I have some desperate memories of maybe being like a teenager at a ballpark and wanting to eat the whole shell. I think I'm too old now and I don't have to worry about that BS to be doing things like that. Just reminded me of that. So yeah, shells away for me.
Once you're in your mid-30s, you just got to be really careful what you eat. All you 20-something and teenage whippersnappers that are listening to us right now, let me tell you something. Once you turn 30, it's all downhill from
there. It's so sad because the 20-somethings listening to this right now, like, I can't believe they just spent 5 minutes on watermelon and peanuts. I eat McDonald's 5 times a week and I'm in peak physical condition. Yes, I remember being like that too. I do remember that. That was a time in my life. That time's gone, unfortunately.
unfortunately. Yes. So was this episode. This episode's gone.
Gone with the wind. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. Enjoy Open Championship Week. We'll be back with another all-new edition of The Course of Life. Until then, everyone have a good week.